The plans for a home designed by Wisconsin's own Frank Lloyd Wright were on his drawing board when he died in 1959. And over six decades, the design remained unbuilt.
Now, a mother and daughter duo based in Ohio are taking on the project to finish this home, committing to keeping the architecture as authentic as possible.
And the Magnolia Network wanted to follow along. The show is called The Last Right, Building the Final Home Design of America's Greatest Architect. It premiered this month with streaming available on HBO Max.
Sarah and Debbie Dykstra join us now to talk about their efforts to bring Frank Lloyd Wright's River Rock House to life. Debbie, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Sarah, thanks for being with us.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, Sarah, can you start us off with the story of the house and the plot of land it's on and the design plans? It's quite a story.
It is quite a story. It was the second house that Lewis Penfield had designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And the reason he had it designed was halfway through the build of his first house, they announced the construction of Interstate 90. And it was going to go through or too close to his original house. And so he went back to Frank Lloyd Wright and said, you know, I need a new set of plans for a little bit further south on the property. And they kind of went back and forth and eventually made an agreement, signed some contracts, sent a check off, and waited. And then they waited a little longer and Mr. Wright passed away. So the Penfields at that point, the highway had been moved more north. So the first house was not going to get destroyed in the process. So they thought that the second set of plans died along with Frank until about a week after his funeral when they arrived. And they were designated in the archives as the last residential plans that he ever did.
And Debbie, talk us through what led from, hey, we've got this land with an already existing Frank Lloyd Wright house on it, and we've got this document that's designed for a house, to the decision to actually say, we're going to build this house.
Well, when we were in the process of purchasing, Sarah had written a letter to the son of Lewis, Paul Penfield, and promised that we would build this house. We were trying to sway him so he would sell it to us. And it, even though it was for sale, he had other developers and whatnot going to buy it or were considering it. So because we were a family and we were all going to plan on living here and we promised to build this house, I think what sold him into selling it to us.
Sarah, can you paint a picture of this house? Now, we're in Wisconsin. We've got houses with, I think, similar Frank Lloyd Wright designs. I stayed in a vacation rental designed by one of his students or mentees. Paint us a picture of this house that you set out to build here.
Sure. Well, we're on 30 acres along the Chagrin River Road in Willoughby Hills, Ohio. And it's just very picturesque, you know, the streams, the eagles, the deer, and both homes sit up on a ridge, both the Lewis Penfield house and River Rock. But River Rock is kind of built into the ground and overlooking the ledge. So it looks a lot different than Penfield House. It's all rock. It has a massive point and cantilever that overlooks the land and down into the river. You can't see all of the river from up here, but it's just right there, and it kind of pulls you to go towards that river.
Debbie, as I understand Frank Lloyd Wright, you couldn't take this plan from River Rock and build it somewhere else, right? This was a building that was designed to be on this exact spot. Tell us a little bit about how it fits in on the landscape.
Well, it was designed to go 60-some degrees off of a particular poplar tree that is on this property, and there's actually two. 70 years ago, it would have been fine, but because we were doing it now, created a problem with the roots. We were afraid we were going to lose it, but this house sits right on this particular piece because of that poplar tree, and we decided to make it as authentic as possible. We had to stick to that particular spot, try to save that poplar tree, and so far so good, and it just juts right out over the edge, just like Sarah said. And in the winter, you can see the river. In the spring and summer, it's kind of difficult because of all the trees, but it just sits right here where it's supposed to.
Now, Sarah, you describe yourself on the show as a retired lady and a never built a house lady. Okay, so you're taking this plot of land, you're building it here. What, how daunting a task was this for the two of you?
Well, the mother's the retired lady, but she had had some experience building in the past. And we come from a family of builders over 110 years here in Lake County, Ohio. And so it was daunting. It was definitely nerve-wracking, all of those things that you can imagine. The pressure of doing it exactly right for Mr. Wright and for the Penfields. But being an IT person, I have that like timeline sense of projects that once we started going, it really, you know, and I learned a lot. I had to learn a ton. I just had to stay a little bit ahead of everybody. Not my mom and not my uncle who helped a lot in the build, but you know, whoever was coming next to perform some work on the house. All those scary anxiety words were there at the beginning and throughout the project, but I just come from a family where you just keep going. You know, you can't weigh in on all of that anxiety. You have to keep pushing forward and get to the next step.
Debbie, this design was from 1960. There are some changes that had to be made. I saw a bit where you were looking at the materials involved, and there was sheets of asbestos. Can't do that anymore. What kind of compromises did you have to make with modern housing codes and product availability?
And not too many in the code side of things, but we had to put in extra steel in the roof system. We also had to change the wood because you couldn't get the Philippine mahogany, but we had to have something just as strong because we changed the glass in the windows. It was a 1/4-inch glass and now it's a 1/2-inch. All those things help keep that cantilevered roof line in the great room overlooking the edge up and strong. It would have sagged with anything else. So we went with the Sapelli mahogany, which was almost as strong as I don't know what kind of scale they measure the strength, but it was almost as strong as the Philippine mahogany, but you can't get that anymore. So we had to go differently.
And Sarah, the budget 1960 money was $25,000. I'm guessing in 2020's money, that wouldn't have gotten you very far.
No.
Maybe the doors.
I'm trying to think of what would have cost that much. Yeah.
The blueprint, probably.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely a different scale of money in 2025. But it was, I think I say at one point, I told somebody it was less than our first bid, but a lot more than 1959, 1960.
We're talking to Sarah and Debbie Dykstra. They're a mother-daughter duo living in Ohio. Magnolia Network is following their journey to build a home designed by Wisconsin's own Frank Lloyd Wright. The show is called The Last Wright. Now, what is it about Frank Lloyd Wright that the two of you love? Let's throw this one to Debbie first this time. What is it that grabs you about Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture?
Well, that's a really difficult question. Well, for one thing, I've always been a learner, so I love to learn about new things. So diving into Frank Lloyd Wright architecture for me was a learning experience, just like with my daughter, only on a different level. And if you look at the way he built things versus the way things are built today, it's completely different. So it was a big learning experience. And there's no other architect like him around ever, as far as I know. And I know pretty much about, you know, architecture, and I've traveled quite a bit. But his thought process as far as the inside outside, people have taken that, but he did it first. And I have always loved being outside, and I love feeling like even when I'm sitting in the house, this house, it's got 18-foot windows. I mean, you feel like you're sitting outside, only you don't feel the weather change. And to me, that was really important. He also started the great room concept, of which, many, many, many houses built since then have gone that route. So there's just concepts and things that he did that you know, weren't being done. He was far ahead of his time, and not just with Usonian builds, but with every kind of building he did.
Sarah, did you catch the Frank Lloyd Wright bug from her?
I think I had it first because I like the, she likes the cozy, warm, snuggly houses, and I like all the straight lines. So I picked up on those things from Mr. Wright a long while back. And that's what really caught my eye. Even when we looked at the listing to buy this property, the first picture was the floating staircase that you see at the Penfield House. And I immediately was like, what is this mid-century looking thing? Because we didn't know that there was even a Frank Lloyd Wright house here in Willoughby when we grew up. We'd all moved away. We'd moved down to Florida. And by the time we had left, the Penfields weren't renting it. They were using it as a personal home when we were growing up. So we didn't even know it was here. So all of those things, those straight lines, the glass, the rock, all of that kind of stuff has always drawn me into Frank Lloyd Wright's designs. But learning about his philosophies and the compression and release and the passive solar energy systems that he built into the houses is just some of those things you're just like, holy cow, how on earth in 1950 did he think of some of these things?
Or before,
yeah.
I got to ask, Debbie, the two of you are not only going through this difficult process of, you know, making this house as true as you can to Frank Lloyd Wright's original vision. You're also doing it with camera crews looking over your shoulder for the last right. What was it like to be going through this process and be, you know you were being captured for TV?
Well, I'm 74, and this definitely was the strangest part of my entire life. And my daughter will say the same thing. In fact, she probably coined that phrase first, but it truly was. I mean, you know, there are times you have to be quiet. Well, I just, you know, don't live those lines. I mean, it was a great experience. We learned a lot of, as far as that goes. They learned from us because my specific thing initially was we only do three takes. We're not going to make this like a regular movie where we have lines. I'm not going to remember what you told me 10 minutes ago, so get it in the first three takes. So it was a strange situation, but our whole family was involved at some point or another, and that was very exciting to have them, you know, forever be remembered also, or for their children or grandchildren.
Now, the show just started airing, so I know you probably don't want to do a lot of spoilers, but Debbie, what is your vision for the final product? What is it going to be used for? Somebody living in it, renting it? What will River Rock be doing?
Well, my daughter wanted to live in it, and I said, absolutely not, because this house is really meant to be seen by other people. So we will use it as an Airbnb-type situation, where people can come and stay two nights and they can go all over the property. We have trails everywhere. And I hope they do come, because staying in this house and just being in it for several hours is just amazing. It's a different feeling than any other house I've ever been in. And they're both available to do that. So that's my hope. People will come, they'll open up the cabinets, they'll read everything. We have the set of plans here. We have pictures, we have books, and my thing throughout my entire life is that you should try to learn something new every day, and if you come here, I guarantee you, you won't leave here with an empty brain if you don't want to, because it's just a learning experience as well as an emotional experience.
Now, we're in Wisconsin here, so I got to ask, Sarah, we've got Taliesin here, right? Frank Lloyd Wright's HQ for a long time. You can do whole tours of buildings he designed or his protégés designed around Wisconsin. Did you, Sarah, and your mom make the pilgrimage out here, or do you plan to?
We definitely plan to. We did not get out there yet. We did we went out to New York and met with Roland Reisley, who's the oldest original only owner of a Frank Lloyd Wright house. We went to Falling Water because we did do some field trips with the production crew. So they set those up. But our next journey is going to be to come out to Wisconsin. I know that we have what they call a Juliet balcony off of our primary bedroom in River Rock. And I think that the only other house that has that is the Johnson House. So I'm dying to see how that looks from, you know, comparing the two. So we are definitely going to make it out there very soon.
Congratulations on the show, and I look forward to having you here in Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Debbie and Sarah Dykstra are a mother-daughter duo in Ohio. They set out to build a home based on the last known design of Wisconsin's own Frank Lloyd Wright. They share that experience on the Magnolia Network show, The Last Right, Building the Final Home Design of America's Greatest Architect.